Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
There are several things that I hadn't thought of before until Nancy asked me two or three questions. And one threw me completely, which was about how my parents treated me and what impact that may have had on the way I brought up my kids. And that is something I hadn't really thought of. So there was some thought here that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad it happened.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. If you're in transition with your business and how you're leading, they go together. Please call me right away at 1-612-804-8920. You don't have to wait and fumble around to identify the process that you're in. I'll help you figure that out. And today's sponsor is Sally Doyle. Go ahead and schedule a profit analysis with Sally for only $99. You can take charge of your money life by getting a second opinion. Sally's the founder of Absolute Business Solutions and is known as a trustworthy bookkeeper, a profit strategist, and innovative thinker who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for and you're freed up to do the work that you're good at and keep leading. So give Sally a call, 1-651-208-8151, or you can go to her website at absolutebusinesssolutions.com. So today in the studio, we have Dr. Elvin Berger. He believes the future of health and longevity is to reduce inflammation within the body through oral and topical means. He diligently examines diets and topical solutions while combining cutting-edge science with ancient wisdom to combat the growing inflammation epidemic, which represents the root cause of most diseases. Dr. Berger knows what he's talking about. He has over 30 years of research experience in nutritional and pharmaceutical sciences and is an eminent lipid nutritionist and biochemist. He's a world-renowned published expert in the field of fatty acids and cellular, molecular, and whole-body metabolism. Elvin's global research and interest in inflammation led him to discover ancient sources of very particular conifer seed extracts to combat our chronic inflammation epidemic. And just to give you a little bit more information, these seeds are considered ancient wisdom. They date back to the diets of indigenous populations and even the diets of dinosaurs, and are no longer incorporated to any great extent into our Western diet, which is part of the problem. But Dr. Berger's discoveries of sciadonic acid, a type of delta-5 fatty acid, has a unique mechanism of action in being incorporated into specific and unique phospholipid pools where it displaces pro-inflammatory arachidonic acid and rapidly reduces levels of known pro-inflammatory mediators. It thus acts to curb inflammation early in the inflammation cascade. Sciadonic acid, or delta-5, we'll be talking a little bit more about this, but it has been studied by Dr. Berger and his colleagues in over 22 studies on inflammation to date. It's a proven anti-inflammatory benefit that you can put on topically and is one of the most revolutionary skincare treatments in the marketplace. We'll get into this in a little bit more depth as I welcome Dr. Berger to our program. He has two different companies, Ski Essentials and also Life Sense products. So the Ski Essentials is an anti-inflammatory skin business that I was just describing. And then there's also connected some Life Sense products or ketogenic if you're looking to understand your triglycerides and your fats. That's an area where you can get products. Elvin, are you okay with me calling you Elvin?
Yeah, Elvin, it's fine. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome to the program. And we're going to kind of break down the different aspects of what you're doing so that the audience can understand more of where you're coming from and the depth of research that you've done over the last 30-some years, and also why you embarked on two different corporate kind of avenues in developing your own businesses with other partners.
I'd be happy to do that, and I'm very excited to speak with you today, Nancy.
Oh, great. Well, how else are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good today.
Yeah?
It's a nice Monday, very fired up.
Okay, very good. All right. So let's take your story back a little bit so that the audience can have an understanding of where you come from and why you're so passionate about this and why it's so important for you to put this work out into the world in this way so that people can really get a handle on what's going on in their bodies and their skin.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like growing up in your family?
Well, I grew up in New York, in Long Island, during a period where it wasn't very developed. So I grew up with woods in the backyard, about 20 minutes from the ocean, fishing, studying fish. And in terms of my personality, I was one of these nerdy kinds of kids,
yeah,
you know, that would spend time out on the porch studying insects move around and,
okay,
you know, how they moved when the sun came and when they were shade and that sort of thing. So very kind of left brain analytical type from a young age.
Did you have some siblings that you grew up with?
I have two sisters. We're close in age and we're all quite different.
Okay.
None of them have gone the scientific route.
Okay. They've gone in other avenues.
Yeah.
But you really, so during your youth, you really took an interest in nature.
Definitely.
So that's when you started your scientific discoveries.
Yeah.
Was really your curiosity as a child.
Yeah. My path was growing up near the ocean. It was during a period where aquaculture, the harvesting of fish, was really coming into its own. And I went off and got a master's at the University of Washington studying the diets for fish. Because in the aquaculture industry, feed is the most expensive cost. So I was studying what fish eat, which seems like a funny thing to be studying. But from a commercial point of view, keeping fish healthy and feeding them inexpensively, but not garbagey food. You know, the old expression, garbage in, garbage out, which applies to fish as well as humans. So that was the area I was studying for the first years of my career.
Okay. And where'd you go to school at?
University of Washington.
Okay.
And I ended up realizing that I had kind of this urban part of my personality growing up in New York, and the jobs I was getting in those early years were very rural, moving to, you know, obscure parts of Washington State. And many of the jobs were down south, you know, in the catfish farm industry. And so there was a problem in the kind of jobs that were available to me at that time.
Yeah.
And then I seemed to do a lot of cleaning of ponds, you know, despite the 7 years in school at that point, and did kind of a pivot. I knew a lot about fish nutrition and realizing fish are vertebrates and vertebrates have similar nutritional requirements. Just kind of pivoted and went into human nutrition.
Oh,
and then
I
that's
see.
What led to my eventually going to UC Davis and getting a PhD in nutrition.
So are you concerned about what's going on in the environment regarding our fish and wildlife?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, I read some of the newer information about the oceans being contaminated with plastics.
Yeah.
And then those
like we're finding it in our fecal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matter.
Yeah. And micro particles of plastic ending up in fish, and then we eat the fish, the old, you know, food chain effects.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big problem. And then if you feed fish hormones, then humans get those same hormones.
Yeah, so it's a vicious cycle that we've been in. I grew up on a dairy farm in the 70s. And so that was just when the farmers were being approached with all these different chemicals.
Right.
I mean, it was a really big way in which organized process, you know, in which the seed farmers and would come out and then talk about all the different types of chemicals that could be put on the crops. And my brother died at age 37 from lymphoma.
Oh,
And he used to be on the farm. We would have these silos and he would be jumping inside with the corn. And, you know, we're kind of thinking that, you know, some what he experienced there in his younger years might have attributed to him getting cancer later. But I don't know. You know, we don't know for sure. But I certainly feel really close to the what the science is finding in what's going into animals and what we put on our products,
right?
You know, directly relate and come back to us, and affect our system,
right? And so the aquacultured farmed fish gets a very bad rap, But in principle, if it's done right, meaning the water can be filtered and the fish can be fed, you know, correct foods and can be kept very clean.
Yeah.
In principle, there's no reason to fret farmed fish.
Oh.
You know, because you know there's a big preference for wild seafood amongst many people. But
I mean,
some
that's where I get my fish oil is wild Alaskan.
Wild. But some of that has to do with greed, because in the farmed fish industry, to make more money, they give more hormones and crowd the fish and do things they probably shouldn't be doing. So,
what are some companies that you would suggest getting fish oil from?
Fish oil. Well, I personally use either South American source, like menhaden anchovy, or Norwegian herring.
Oh, yeah.
I use one called from Arctic Nutrition. Disclosure, I used to work there. Chief scientific officer. But it's in a phospholipid form, which is more bioavailable.
Okay. There's so many elements of what you're doing and how you carved out your two several different niches that have come together. Well, I was thinking about your career as a scientist, and you've had some corporate experiences with Cargill and what was the other?
Nestle and a bunch of other smaller companies.
Okay. And what did you find in working with corporations and the work that you did there?
I would say, and these are kind of my own, you know, from my own pitfalls, I was always very strong academically.
Yeah.
But probably weak on the emotional intelligence side, I would say.
Okay.
So when I first started my career, and we'd hear a speaker, I'd probably be the first one to raise my hand and, you know, point out that you've incorrectly stated something and that's that sort of thing.
Okay.
And so it took me a longer time than, you know, perhaps others to realize there's a time and place to express a point of view. And so as I matured, I might, you know, now I would hear someone perhaps say something incorrect and I would, you know, hold my tongue and then privately discuss that point with that person. So that's one thing. And the other is really, I would say to people starting out in, you know, careers working in these large corporate companies, you know, you're getting judged from the moment you show up within seconds.
Yeah.
You know, what is your body language? Do you smile? Are you friendly? So paying attention to those things and, you know, make yourself likable.
Okay. Some suggestions that you would have for
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. Because in my kind of profession, if you've been hired already, that means they know you have the academic accomplishment and ability. So it becomes more about, are you going to start
like
out as a person?
Skills.
Yeah. Social skills is huge. And trying to make yourself indispensable, not only on one project, but on many projects. So when you start out, the first challenge is how are you going to get hired?
Yeah.
Very challenging. But then within days of getting hired, that you should already be thinking within that corporate structure, how do you make yourself on like so they can't fire you, essentially. They wouldn't want to fire you.
Yeah.
So I think by making yourself intimately entangled in multiple important projects, when they're going through the usual, you know, chopping time, when they want to reduce the amount of employees, they would think twice, I think, about trying to remove an employee that's embedded in many projects.
Yeah. What kind of research were you doing at the time that you were working with? Was it Cargill that you worked with first?
Well, the first large corporate position I had was for Nestle in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Okay.
As a head of, headed up many of their lipid nutrition projects. So
I think of Nestle, don't think of nutrition.
Yeah. Well, Nestle is the largest nutrition company in the world.
I didn't know.
And it's a massive company. And I used to get kidded about, am I going to taste chocolate or things like that?
Right, exactly.
But remember, you're talking about a massive company.
Yeah.
International, in every country, selling so many different types of products, chocolate, coffees, cocoa, and on and on and on.
Yeah.
So it's a big company. And that's where I started out.
Okay. I'm surprised you were interested.
Well, I was heading up the, you know, I was going to say within nutrition, people don't think about it, but at a higher level, nutrition is very, very broad. Minerals, fats, carbohydrates, proteins, sport nutrition, maternal nutrition. So just like if you make an analogy to medicine, yes, you could be a general practitioner, but more common is to specialize, be an endocrinologist, a diabetologist, and so on. So it's not different in nutrition. So when you go through these advanced degrees, you specialize.
Yeah.
So there are people who are specialists on minerals,
yeah,
or even more precise, say, magnesium. And in my case, I specialized on fats or lipids.
Okay. So that's
oils.
Where you got your start.
That's how I started
fats
out.
And lipids.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then what carried you forward? How long were you with Nestle?
So I went out to, at that point, Nestle
in Switzerland. Yeah.
At a period of in time when it was very uncommon for an American to travel abroad for a degree. For work. And there were only a handful of Americans. Now it's more common. You have foreigners working here, Americans working abroad, and so on. But during that period, it was very uncommon. I went there.
And what was the years that you were there about?
1996 to 98.
Okay.
And my ambition in going there was to really try to launch my career. And my hope was to stay 2 years. And 2 years became 6.5 years.
Okay. Because the work must have been very interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what was the next step after that?
Well, I left there and ended up taking a position in Canada, of all places, in the Toronto area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good spot.
I would say, on a personal note, my leaving Nestle had more to do with a desire to come back to North America. Canada wasn't necessarily kind of planned, it just happened. But when you live abroad, like in the case, yeah, you know, when you live abroad, like a place like Switzerland, and this is nothing negative about Switzerland, they say you either become Swiss or you don't.
Okay.
And I did not become Swiss. I still had my more New York style personality. So, which was at odds with some aspects of living in Switzerland. So it was more for personal reasons that I was leaving.
Mm. Okay. And so you landed in Toronto.
Yep.
With what kind of work?
I worked in the biotech sector.
Okay. And what were you up to there?
I headed up a company that was developing vitamin analogs for the pharmaceutical profession. So until this point,
what are those?
Like vitamin A and vitamin D analogs for treating cancers and for skin disease.
Oh, I see.
Like psoriasis. And that was my first foray into more pharmaceutical sciences.
So you moved into kind of the skin.
I had some exposure to skin at that point.
The skin industry. Okay. And then where did that kind of take you?
I was
in your
2 years.
Further research?
Well, I was 2 years in Canada and had a desire to get back to U.S. and ended up taking a position in North Carolina.
Okay.
Worked for two different companies, also more biotech, something called metabolomics. It's the art and science of trying to measure thousands of metabolites in the bloodstream, in the urine, and in tissues.
Oh.
Traditionally, one, as a scientist, you would measure several molecules if you wanted to assess someone's health, make some kind of determination. So this is the science of measuring many, many, many molecules to get a broader and more complete assessment of a person's health and wellness.
After studying this, did you start putting things together of, how is this fitting with our overall nutrition and how can I be a part of a solution?
Yeah. Well, these dives into biotech and more pharma was not really my main passion. I had these opportunities and I went with them, and I don't regret that. It helped to broaden me, but my real desire was to stay in the nutrition world.
Okay.
And in terms of how I ended up with the Skiadonics and so on, that stems from my having a keen interest in what people eat around the world.
Okay.
And also what they apply on their skin around the world. So as Americans growing up here, we do a lot of thinking about what we eat, and that's what most people focus on. Should I eat this? Should I not eat that? What should I buy? What fish oil should I buy? And so on and so on. You know, forgetting that we only represent a small aspect of what's eaten around the world. And so if you look at traditional cultures, indigenous cultures, they're still eating in some ways more similarly to what ancestral man ate.
Yeah.
More conifer seeds, hunted animals, blubber in the case of Eskimos, and so on. So that was an interest of mine. And I also had an interest in traditional Chinese medicine. And it's because of that and realizing, like you said in the introduction, that in many other cultures around the world, they still eat these conifer seeds, which are pines and junipers, as examples people may know. Whereas those kind of seeds are not largely consumed in North American diets.
So how are they packaged, or how do you buy them? Can you even buy them here?
Well, and we work with very exotic seeds that we spent 30 years studying to get a source that was rich in this skiadonic acid you mentioned, this anti-inflammatory fatty acid.
Yeah.
We're not in the seed business, though. We're in the oil business.
Okay.
So we take the seeds and we develop proprietary processing to make a special oil. And it's the oil that we're selling.
And where's that at? Where's your production?
We manufacture the oil itself in Canada and in the U.S.
Okay.
And then it's refined, meaning cleaned up to remove odors and things we don't want in the oil.
Yeah.
And then that oil right now is sold as a fine grade cosmetic oil.
Okay. And that's cosmetic because it's for the skin.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Skia Essentials are the oils for the skin.
That's correct.
Okay. When did you start that company?
We started that company in about 2016.
Okay. So just a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, after thinking about it for 30 years, because I made those discoveries back in 1997.
I see.
As part of my PhD years, and I got sidetracked for a long, long time. Or sidetrack is kind of negative sounding, but I had high-powered positions in big companies.
Yeah.
And people would say, oh, you should just do that on the side. And, you know, to start up and develop this Skiadonics, Ski Essentials business. And it's not very realistic advice. You hear about, I mean, there are entrepreneurs, as you know, who...
It depends upon the type of business.
Yeah.
I mean, what you're doing, you have to, you know, you're developing a whole new product. So you have to figure out all the manufacturing process and from A to Z. I mean, you can do some of it with like putting together some of the plans for it.
Right.
Which you probably did.
Yeah. These are complicated businesses.
Right.
International, customs, patents, regulatory... and on and on and on. So it's not really, I just don't think it was realistic for all those years that I dreamed about this to do it on the side, as people say. And it was only when I really stopped my day job, so to speak, that I was able to dedicate myself in a more correct way to get the business launched.
Well, in people who are developing products like this that are transforming the world of how we're ingesting things. You know, it takes all these years too to pull together all the different pieces. I mean, having that corporate experience also in other countries helped you to understand how business is done in other countries. Because as an entrepreneur, you need to learn the process of patent and the patents that are needed for each country and where to manufacture the product. You know, what's the cheapest way to go about doing it, or where are the resources plentiful that are close by to where the you're going to be manufacturing the products. And so there's all the licensing and registration, yeah, and then figuring out what entity and also how much money it's going to be. And besides what company you're setting up, you know, what's the financial route? How many partners do I need? What are they providing? And what's the venture capital route or the private investor route or my personal funds, you yeah know? And so all those different pieces make for a person can't just, you know, they need some experience and they need lots of what you're producing. I think if you looked back at your past, can you pull together some of the things and say, oh my God, thank goodness I learned this skill in yeah Switzerland?
Yeah. Or, I would say, you know, over those many years, I had advanced patent classes. Okay. At Cargill, I had the Marketing Academy classes.
Okay.
At St. Thomas, I had financial planning, you know, basic finances. So it's really a culmination in my case of, and having worked in different countries, and as you point out, you know, the importance of the international experience. So I would say it's really a culmination of all those years and, putting it all together to be able to do this.
Because part of what we were talking about, even just off air before we started, mm-hmm, was kind of the career of a scientist. And, you know, that there's different ways in which people can go in their career as they're mm-hmm building out their portfolio and their life as a scientist. Tell us a little bit more about the traditional routes or the tracks that scientists are on.
Right. So for someone with an advanced degree, in this case a PhD, or in my case a fellowship and a professorship as well, you're highly academic and you're technical. So you might be doing laboratory work, bench work, as we say, meaning you're literally standing over a bench, handling test tubes and doing experimentation. And so at a certain point in one's career, you typically have this choice to make. You're either going to go the more managerial route or stay sometimes your whole career as what we call a bench scientist. Inevitably, what ends up happening when you're in companies, you don't seem to get as much respect. Even if you're an amazing bench scientist, you tend not to be as respected to business people unless you can show what your business acumen is.
I see.
The transition, I think, is really to, at a certain point in one's career as a scientist, to show that you can take those more academic and technical skills and start to commercialize things, develop products. Ultimately, businessmen don't care about money is the bottom line. So if you're working in a company and you can show that your skill set led to selling more of something or developing a new product, that's going to be highly appreciated.
Yeah. So you decided that you want to go the entrepreneurial route.
I did.
There were two companies that you said you started simultaneously, and we're mm-hmm we'll get into one or the other and build that out in our next conversation. But you started Ski Essentials first?
Started Skiadonics, which is the parent company.
Okay.
And Ski Essentials is the direct-to-consumer arm of Skiadonics.
Okay. And Ski Essentials, you have two websites.
Right.
The Ski Essentials is where consumers can buy the products.
Correct.
Okay. And how many products do you have?
Just one.
Yeah. And it's a powerful one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you brought it to market and released it into the marketplace. You started your company. And then how soon after did you have the product ready?
So we started, and the company was set up to sell these products for oral use.
Okay.
Because in fact, all except two studies were done using different models, but for oral consumption.
Okay.
Situations like diabetes, kidney disease, systemic lupus erythematosus, and others, organ rejection. So that was where we had most of the data. And then I have partners in Norway.
Okay.
And so the
how many?
I have now three or four.
Okay.
And so the challenge we were finding was when I was trying to raise money initially, and I would explain to investors that we needed to get certain regulatory approvals.
Yeah.
In order to for humans to be able to consume this, it felt like snooze at that point.
Okay.
You know, so like, hey, well, how long will it take and how much will that cost? And what are the risks you won't get the approvals? And so it seemed like the conversations quickly went to a negative energy at that point.
Okay.
And we also had data when I was at Nestle working in collaboration with L'Oreal and Galderma, showing that these same fatty acids, the sciatonic delta 5 that you mentioned, was benefiting the skin.
Okay.
And 50% of all skin conditions are said to be attributed to inflammation. So we did a business pivot and decided to focus first on skin.
Okay.
But I'm always getting asked, when will the oral products be available? But the focus is on skin right now.
Yeah. I read, and we've discussed, like, how many customers. Are there around 700 customers who have tried this?
Yes. That's about right.
What are the results?
So we have the main benefits that customers experience are rapid improvements in redness, appearance of wrinkling, and collagen boosting. So a more full look, but not like puffed up looking.
Okay.
So that's what we see there, and we have the business divided up to a consumer facing sector. Focus on those conditions.
Okay.
Those are just three examples among many other benefits.
Yeah.
And then we're also going after the, what I call post-treatment sector, meaning if you've had an injection, fillers, or Botox, that sort of thing, or face peels, masks, any of these kind of things that are good for the skin but lead to redness and pain and irritation. So we have, I would say it's about 90% women is the audience.
Okay.
That they're using the oil after they've had these treatments to speed up recovery, get back to work sooner.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then those who are concerned about getting wrinkles.
Yeah.
Those who are aging, and we're all aging.
Yeah. Well,
those of a certain age.
Right.
Yeah.
But when we study the demographics, we realized from the data that we thought the market was going to be 45 and above, middle class or wealthier women who follow the latest trends in skin care. And we learned that we had about 20% of the customer base was actually beginning at age 18 to 25.
Really?
And then I started speaking to people who are, you know, expert marketers on the skin cosmetic side, and they were explaining to me that it's no longer about waiting for that first wrinkle. You know, women are trained, you start early in a more of a preventative mode.
I see. And so how often is this applied, and what if you stop?
Well, most of the customers apply just once a day is the most common, 3 drops of the oil. It's very, very concentrated. It's not diluted. So
when you do the drops, mm-hmm. Where do you put the drops?
Most of the customers put it like onto a finger.
Okay.
And then they use the finger to cover
it. To rub it in, yeah.
Unless they were doing it like, say, on your, a body part other than the face, where you could just kind of drop it down.
Yeah. And what if you've got a big swath of skin that needs the formula, then it takes a little bit more.
Yeah. We have some customers that will mix it with another oil.
Okay.
Or even
what kind of oil?
Well, sometimes they mix it in with their own cream.
Okay.
Like for your question about, like, how do you treat a large area?
Yeah.
So you'll have people that, I don't know exactly what they do. They all, because we encourage people, like, do it yourself. So they mix it in with their own oils and creams and whatever it is they have.
Oh, I see.
But it's an oil, so, most oils blend pretty well together. So, whether that's an olive or a sesame or a coconut, any one of those could work.
Okay. Does anyone put it in their diets, in their drinks or food?
Well, it's not approved for oral use. I mean, we know that people are doing it, but...
Yeah, okay.
But that's not something I can...
Yeah.
Tell them to do.
Okay. All right. Well, I just want to talk about it a little bit because people are pretty creative in mm-hmm. how they're trying to treat their different inflammation and skin issues.
Yeah.
But we're talking right now just about the skin.
That's correct.
And if your oil doesn't have collagen in it, then how does that...
Well, Well, decreasing collagen happens during aging, and some of that decrease in collagen production is due to inflammation. So inflammation meaning redness, scaliness of the skin, leads to a loss in the production of collagen. So if you can curb inflammation, it allows the body to make more collagen.
Okay, because we make it naturally.
You make collagen.
Yeah, okay. Great. Well, I'm sure that there are some people who are curious about trying your product.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way that you can...
Just off the website, SkiaEssentials.com.
Okay, terrific. And is there anything else that you would like to share with the We Mentor listeners?
I am happy to take questions online through various formats.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If I can help, these areas, some of these topics you were mentioning in the intro, gets fairly complicated.
Yeah,
technical.
Very easily.
So I'm happy to explain things.
You know. Okay. And I'll have some other resources in the show notes too, because you have a lot of research. You've done a lot of promoting the product, and I'm talking about the Delta 5,
mm-hmm.
the sciadonic acid type oil. And you've been on Montel Williams. You've been with Jimmy Moore, Jillian Michaels. She's a popular, well-renowned person. There's just a lot of different people that you have been on their shows and offer different aspects of your knowledge. Because you've got a ton of knowledge in the lipid area, right? And anything about inflammation and fats and nutrition and different ways in which you can look at your own personal diet. All right. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. And would you like to join me in another conversation?
Yes, I would.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks, Mike Cabeas, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. We'll see everybody next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. Totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our We Mentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through wementor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at wementor.com or call me 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening and we'll see you next week.